the games, you follow the team, you wear the colors with pride, and you have questions, and only one man can answer them. Get the answers to the tough questions.
To continue our high school football season recap interviews, yesterday we caught up with Coach John Famala with the Emory Spartans. Today, we're going to talk to Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbon Dinos. Carbon falling in the first round of the state championship tournament last Thursday to the Richfield Wildcats. It was a game in which Richfield jumped out early. Carbon showed some signs of heart in the second half. I mean, really, it was a successful year all the way around for this team. Two region wins. They got a home playoff game. It's a step forward for a program that hadn't won a region game in close to 20 years. Joining us on the phone right now to talk a bit about that and more, we have Coach Josh Huntsman. Coach, as always, it's great to get you on. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Definitely, Coach. The season, it's over. It went by in a hurry. Came to a close last week, opening round of the 3A state tournament against the Richfield Wildcats at home. Coach, Richfield had a lot of success early in this contest. You and I got to talk following the game, and I think it was kind of the consensus thought through everyone that watched the game. Richfield had a lot of success early. You guys found some rhythm later on in the contest. Maybe the team a little bit, nerves maybe played a factor, right? I mean, in the opening quarter, it seemed like the kids settled in, but by that time it was too late.
Yeah, you know, our kids settled in a little bit too late. And I, at halftime, we just talked to the kids and said, is this how you want to go out? You know, if this is how you want to go out, I said, well, we can go out there and we can tell them that we don't need to play a second half, but if you guys want to go out and compete, I said, I'd be more than happy to be on the sideline with you and do that. And, you know, our kids made that decision that they wanted to come out and compete. You know, they put up what, 15 points in the second half. Didn't do too bad a job. We just put ourselves in a hole way too deep, way too early.
Yeah, when you talk about putting up 15 points in a second half, when the mercy rule is in effect, that's difficult to do because that clock never stops running. And I know that Richfield, look, they didn't take their starters out of the game. So you guys accomplished this feat against a first-team unit.
Yeah, you know, and we should have done that in the first half. If we'd have done that in the first half, we wouldn't have put ourselves in that situation. But, you know, we came out flat. We got the punt blocked, and they got the ball inside of their 15, and our kids' heads kind of hung a little bit. And, you know, it was kind of over from that point.
It's one of those cases, Coach. I saw the same thing with Emory. It's one of those here-we-go-again type moments, right? I mean, that's a fair assessment in that regard.
Yeah, you know, and our kids have lost so many football games that can come up, that there goes again moment can happen. You know, once you start winning football games, your kids just say, you know what, we'll come back from this. This is easy. But, you know, when you haven't won a whole lot of football games and you're not used to winning, it takes a little bit to get under that mindset and that mentality.
We did get to see a glimpse into the future. Seeing Jalen Dennis as your quarterback with a few weeks under his belt, taking first-team reps in practice, Jalen did quite well running the football. I know he crossed the 100-yard mark, only threw 5 passes in this game, Coach, but did you like what you saw from the junior in this game?
You know, I definitely did. I wanted to get Cooper Shade into the football game a little bit more, too, in that fullback position so that we could get a look at him. So, you know, that opportunity didn't arise for us, but we do know that we have a quarterback that can throw it and can run it, and so we've got to establish a nice running game around him.
You guys will definitely have options coming back next season. One of the big factors, at least for me, this offense, I had a lot of fun watching Riker Larson run the football early on. You guys didn't have him for the better part of the second half of the season, Coach. That wears a little bit on a team that's already low in numbers when you lose a dynamic player. Riker had success both in between the tackles and even getting to the outside.
Yeah, you know, it definitely does hurt when you don't have everyone out there. And, you know, we kind of designed our plays. I get caught in that repeater type thing to where I'm going to run one play to the right side, and if it's successful, I'm going to run the same thing back to the left side. And we lost a little bit of that when Riker went down with his injury, and so we weren't able to repeat some of the plays. And so, you know, you lose a good 7-yard chunk when you don't have him in the ballgame.
It seemed to me that Riddick was at his best when Riker was in the backfield. Is that crazy, or do those two really complement each other that well?
I think those two definitely do complement each other. I think they play off each other pretty well. They know where they're supposed to be. They know what, you know, what routes they're running. You know, if we're throwing the football, they know where the other person is going to be. And so, you know, those two did have a pretty good connection with each other.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbon Dino football team. Coach, those seniors got to experience something that many classes have not at Carbon High. Even though it was a first-round loss to Richfield, what was the senior attitude like in the locker room after the game?
You know, I came up and did the interview with you, so I wasn't in the locker room a whole lot. You know, I got a lot of hugs as they were leaving the locker room, but I think Isaac Quintana sat down and told him how much he cared about him and how much, you know, it meant to him to be able to play with those guys. And I think, you know, a few of them left with tears, a few of them left with, you know, regrets, a few of them left with jubilation. And so that's just kind of the nature of that beast. And we hope that each one of those kids got touched in a way to where, you know, it was a good experience for them and it was worthwhile.
Camaraderie is always going to be key in high school sports, Coach. Over the last 4 years, when you kind of compare it to the other teams you had, it seemed like this team was just as close-knit, if not more close-knit, than any other squad I've seen over the last 4 to 5 years at Carbon High.
And, you know, and they had to work hard at it. You know, you got a lot of kids from different socioeconomic backgrounds. You've got, you know, different races, different religions, different everything. But those guys had to work hard at coming together. And I thought they did a fantastic job. I thought, you know, our offensive line was as tight-knit as any group I've been around. And it was fun to watch. They played for each other. They weren't out there playing for me. They weren't out there playing for the other coaches. They were playing for each other because they didn't want to let each other down.
High point of the year for this team. Was it beating Emory and getting the cold bucket, or was it beating Judge and clinching that home playoff game? Because both are very important.
You know, I think the highlight was getting a region win. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as it was, it doesn't matter which one of those teams we played. It was just being able to get a region win, and let alone two region wins in the same season. That was awesome for our kids. You know, if I had to choose which one I liked more, it was beating Judge to secure that to the home field playoff. But you know, and beating a team that we had never beaten before was extremely important for our program too. And so I think on my end of it, I would choose Judge over that. You know, Emory, it was tough. It was, you know, oh, finally we got this win. But with Judge, it was just pure joy.
Right. I mean, at the end of the day, the Emory win, it is one game. The idea is to clinch a home playoff spot. That's the idea. That's what you play for.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, you know, our kids, that's what we had talked to them about the whole year. You know, you beat Emory, you beat Judge, you get a home playoff game. And so both of those games were you know, circled and extremely important on our schedule. But, you know, getting that second win and getting that victory over Judge and being able to host that playoff game, I think that was kind of the icing on the cake.
Hey, Coach, tell me if I'm wrong here. I mean, we just talked about two wins, but the game that's going to stand out to me this year for this team was the loss against Ogden. To me, this team, I know it was a loss, but I have yet to see a Carbon High School football team play that physical and with that amount of intensity. I'll always remember that game. I thought that was a standout performance for the team this year.
You know, and I thought it was so much. That was a fun game to be able to coach him. And you know, there were text messages sent between Coach and I. And he says he was super proud of our kids. And I was super proud of his kids. I just thought that, you know, our kids came out ready to play in our football game. And yeah, they got a lead and they scored, you know, 48 points, but we put 23 up, and that was big for our program. And it was kind of a turning point for our kids, knowing that they could play with some of these bigger teams.
You have a couple of kids on the squad that should absolutely be first-team All-State. Colin Lewis would be one of them, Coach. And we go back to that Ogden game. He was unbelievable in that game. He was unbelievable in a number of games this year. Three or four times, he just stood out as the best player on the football field. There's no doubt that this kid should lead the voting as far as first-team All-State goes. He was phenomenal.
Yeah, he definitely should be up there for the fullback position with first-team All-State. And, you know, you got to get a little help from some of the other coaches and some of the media. But, you know, I thought Colin did enough for our team to be voted as a first-team All-State player.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. You have some other kids on the team that deserve some of that recognition as well. We've talked about Jalen Dennis as a quarterback. I know he only played a couple of games there, Coach. You used him in a variety of different spots. But defensively, he was pretty special for you guys at the safety spot.
Yeah, he definitely was. He called all of our defenses for us, made sure that we were lined up correctly. And, you know, sometimes he was right, sometimes he was wrong. But, you know, he did everything he could to win football games. That's a kid who's going to compete no matter what position he's in. And he's the one out of all of our kids who took losses the hardest. And you know, couldn't be prouder of a kid, you know, playing football.
Coach, you guys also had some definitely stiff competitors up front in the trenches. If we're talking about Mecade Bradley or Gunnar Jeffs, I know Tristan Stamatak has played through a couple of injuries this season as well. It seemed like this was the most fundamentally sound squad that Carbon has had in quite some time up front.
Yeah, it definitely was. And, you know, and the one thing that we talk about Gunnar all the time is, you know, you don't mention Gunner's name a whole lot because Gunner's always doing the right things. And that's a good thing. If you're not mentioning his name in a film session or mentioning his name and other things, that just means he's getting the job done. And so Gunner was solid all year long. He, you know, sprained his ankle a couple of times, and we didn't know that he had sprained his ankle until like 4 days after the ball game because he just wouldn't tell you because he just wants to go out and compete.
Yeah, definitely a special group. Coach, now moving forward, getting two region wins and tasting success, what does that do for a program? I know you've been around football for a long time at multiple levels. When a team has struggled and they taste success, how can you build off of that moving ahead?
Well, you know, there's chatter in the crowd, and that's what our kids hear is, oh, well, you guys did this, I'm going to play next year, or you did this, I'm going to play next year. And those are the things that we're looking for. We're just trying to help, you know, build this program to be better than what it was yesterday. And so if we can get kids to come out and play and get kids to step into leadership roles, that's going to be key for us.
Have you seen that, Coach, around campus, the excitement building for kids who maybe have never played football before, but maybe they take your football theory class or they see the success on the field?
You hope so, and you hope that kind of turns them on to it. You know, football is a great sport. I mean, football's been under attack for a long time from different entities, but football is such a fantastic sport. I don't know why you wouldn't want to play it. You know, just to be a part of the team, be a part of that camaraderie, be a part of you know, everything good that happens within it. But, you know, hopefully we're teaching these kids some valuable lessons about not only football, but about life and about you know, bettering yourself and working hard for a goal.
Yeah, and it's definitely a thinking man's game, Coach, and I know you did surround yourself with a pretty good coaching staff. And being the head coach, not only do you have to assess the players, you have to assess your assistant coaches as well. Were you happy with what you got out of them this season?
You know, I definitely was. You know, we had some issues with our headsets and things like that to where they weren't working very well. And so we pulled all of our coaches down onto the field. And you don't see that a lot in the 3A, 4A, and 3A, 4A, 5A, 6A, where a coaching staff doesn't coach without headsets. But, you know, we were all on the same page. We all were, you know, working for the same goal. And so, you know, our guys did a good job. I couldn't be happier with the coaching staff that I had.
Well, Coach, it's always a pleasure to get you on and talk Carbon High School football. I know the season's done, but you and I will have to continue the conversations well into the off season. Up next for the football team, do you kind of take it easy until weightlifting around February? Is that right?
Yeah, we'll start lifting weights in January, February, and then we'll start, you know, a little 7-on-7 with our own team, you know, come March and April and May, and then we'll dive into some football camps during the summer and do what we can to get prepared. You know, like you and I have talked, it's not just a 3-month, a year job. It's all year round. And so I'm still evaluating coaches, still evaluating players, still trying to get people in the right positions. So we're, you know, that won't stop, but, you know, just the everyday go to practice and those type of things will end for a while.
Well, Coach, again, I really appreciate all the time throughout the entire season that you've given us. A lot of fun to follow the team and even be with you guys this year in the broadcast booth. So thank you again for everything.
Well, I definitely appreciate you having us along and being able to call the games for us and everything that you've done for this program. You definitely helped, you know, put us on the map a little bit with the broadcast that you've done. So, you know, we definitely appreciate that. And I'll leave you with this.
Go Dinos.
Go Dinos, definitely. Thank you again, Coach.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We'll talk NFL football right after this on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, live from the Auto Farm Studios.